Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting to talk. This is Dynamo's Dozen, and this is Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals. A new one from Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals called Choosing Mental Illness from the new album Choosing Mental Illness, which drops Friday the 26th of January. This coming Friday, you got to check it out. It is absolutely unbelievable because today I have the honor and the privilege of welcoming a true icon and legend to the show. Philip H. Anselmo is the voice and frontman of powerhouses like Pantera and Down, two of the most influential metal bands of all time. Some of his other work has been and still is Superjoint, Arson Anthem, Scour, and Viking Crown, just to name a few. However, like I mentioned, this Friday sees the release of his project, Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals, the second album, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue, the follow-up to 2013's Walk Through Exits Only. 10 unique songs, all powerful in their own right. It's an absolutely badass album. I'm a really, really big fan of it so far. Phil is the owner of the awesome Housecore Records, and he is joining me now, guys and girls. This is an absolute honor. I'm going to welcome Philip Patron-Selmo to Dynamo's Dozen. So here he is, the absolute legend. And it is, by the way, I got to say, this is my absolute honor and privilege to welcome not just a childhood hero or a youth hero, but a man hero, Philip Patron-Selmo. How are you doing today, sir?
Ha! First and foremost, let me say that that is a bewilderingly stunning intro.
Yeah, man.
And I'm not sure I can agree with all of it, but I thank you, sir, for the sentiment, and I'm feeling great.
Yeah, you're sounding great too, dude. How was your... And Happy New Year to you as well.
Right back at you, my boxing brother.
So how was... I guess...
Me boxing brother.
Me boxing brother. Well, I'll tell you what...
Ira.
So, Phil, I got to start out with some business here, okay?
Let's business it up, businesser.
Yeah, so we got Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue, released on Friday. I've been listening to it all day, man, and I gotta say it's got everything. It's 10 songs of just pure badass, if I'm being honest. It's how do you feel about the record yourself?
I feel like it's a good fucking with people, man. It's like, I feel like a true free agent and I can do anything I want. So this is sure. Like, you know, it's funny how, you know, you can put out a record like this and people think it's like your permanent direction or something like that. Like you have, like you're just reduced to this.
Yeah.
Massive noise. No, but man, I had fun making it. I love the guys in the band. Great group surrounding me to work with. And I could really go on a big, long tangent, but I'm just going to keep it at that. They're fun to work with. They're energetic, and they bring a lot to the table, both in style. Yeah. And in substance, and I'll end it with input, because their input is focused input, and they get, I guess, the task at hand, you know, when it comes to being versatile, because, you know, this record here was recorded about a year ago, or maybe, yeah, sections of it, you know, or maybe even just a hair longer ago. But regardless, there's other stuff with this same group that I have recorded that is different in style, but still very extreme. So
sure.
I've grown with these guys, so I know that they're very capable, and when I have a vision, they help enhance it big time, and vice versa. You know, if they bring, put it this way, if any of us bring a riff to the table, we all damn well know it's going to get stretched, shortened, lengthened, anything. Yeah. It's going to get stretched in all directions, and that's the healthiness, I guess, of this group of guys.
Hell, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, not to regurgitate some previous stuff that you've kind of talked about regarding this, but those guys have been with you for a long time now. So as you said before in a previous interview, you've watched them grow. So it's, they kind of know you and you know them.
No, absolutely, 100%, man. Very, mellow group of cats who I think individually have their shit together enough. I would say, yeah, percentage-wise, we're looking at the high 80s here. And, you know, so, fuck, if not the good, solid mid-90s. So, as far as having their individual shit together. So that really helps out as far as being married to me, you know. So it gives us that.
I'd say that's fun.
Flexible freedom, and plus, every band I'm in is made up of other bands, so it gives them their absolute. I don't butt in on their personal time or anything like that either. So it's always any band I'm in, person to person, depending on the person, it's always a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of give and take and love and always love and understanding.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a follow-up. Obviously, this is the second album follow-up to Walk Through Exits Only. What do you find are the key differences in the writing process for that record versus maybe the writing process for this record? Because they are very, very different. I mean, even guys and gals out there that would be listening to the three album or the three songs that are available now to stream, Little Fucking Heroes, Delinquent, that's a big standout for me, Delinquent, I love it, and then obviously the title song, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue, they're quite different actually to what you brought out on the first album, but yet the same, if that makes sense.
Well, I think the vision, first and foremost, they should be different. They should be different records. I like that as a music fan myself.
Yeah.
Really, really gut-level music fan myself. I like when, certain bands individually experiment within their own little world, you know, within their own little world, and come up with different results, and it makes for a unique record. A lot of times that can backfire, but pardon me.
You're okay. I'm doing the same thing.
But but either way, you know, that's up to the interpreter of the record and the listener of the record, you know. So
sure.
For me, the first record, I wanted it to be a really ugly listen from a production standpoint. I wanted it to really stick out like an ugly thumb, sounding wise. And I think in what I had in mind for that record, Walk Through Exits Only, specifically, was.
Which is a fucking awesome album, by the way.
Well, no, musically, the expression I had in mind was a herky jerky thrash style, basically.
Sure.
More erratic thrash.
Yeah.
Now, this new record, I've got to say, hands down, Hail Portal and Hail Australian Death Metal overall, big influence on me, because I'm like coming out of a 3-year Portal think tank, and I'm finally up for air, you know. It's like, I've had their new album for like over a year now, and you know, so it's like, I've already, you know, it's coming out new for most people, but I've had it for a very long time, so I've really ingested it and loved it. And now it's like I'm going through a dry spell where I'm very reflective and I'm really getting amped up about some new projects, particularly some new Illegals and this other band I'm in called N Minor. I'm doing a lot of pre-production for that type stuff, and
sure,
new writing as well. So anyway, having said that, with this new record, the big nod to Australian death metal, Portal in particular, there is a big, big contingency of riffs on that record that I wrote in 96, 97 that truly were really influenced by Morbid Angel's first two records, man, no doubt about it. You know, Chapel of Ghouls,
yeah.
Specifically, you can hear that in, what song, what's the name? The Ignorant Point, I do believe. Like, you know, explicitly, you know. So it's my love for that type of death metal, that style of death metal, both influential in my life growing up in the throughout the 90s, late 80s, and early 90s, continuously throughout the 90s, and befriending the Morbid Angel guys.
Yeah.
My admiration for that, as well as modernity with the Australian death metal scene, Portal, in particular, which really points to the main fact that I adore when, once again, as a pure 100% music fan, I can and I have the freedom to express my love, you know, through via influences, and that it shows that I think that we should constantly be influenced, because to me, I guess a band like Portal would meet every qualification to be considered perhaps one of the most extreme bands on earth in the way I listen to music. Everybody's ear is different, but yeah. For me, it's incredibly chaotic and extreme, and they don't even know it, but and here's another thing I forgot to factor in, is my love for Blurcore, and I'll point to a specific record that was always a big influence, and especially on this record, Choosing Mental Illness record,
yeah.
Was Anal Cunt's Morbid Florist.
Nice.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. It's because it became a science now, didn't it?
Sure.
I mean, I've seen Anal Cunt play live with the original band and the later band both, and it became a crazy science that they knew. It was rehearsed. It was insane. So, you know, you take those chaotic influences and move forward with them with a project. That's what you're hearing on Choosing Mental Illness. Truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, it makes
really stripped down.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of, as you know,
And hey, that's just from a riff point of view.
Yeah,
you know, we haven't even gotten to the lyrics, which really. Man, I'll just be quick with this.
Sure.
I like to build framework.
Sure.
And maybe add some key components here and there, certain lines that might be alluring. And I love, from title to singular word, having double meanings, triple meanings. To me, at least, you know, it means like three different things.
Yeah.
If you read into it enough. So I like to have people, instead of me preach about, this song is specifically about this subject. I like for people to interpret it themselves, because you know what my favorite thing is when I do, it's very rare, because I don't go to music sites, I'll be honest with you. Unless somebody sends me a link, I pretty much stick to boxing and American football and, you know.
We'll get on to that.
Shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I do read the comments about what people think about certain lyrics and certain songs, even old songs that I've written, you know, 30 years ago,
yeah.
It's like so removed from where my train of thought was at all. That
of course.
It just adds this whole new branch of lore
of
to
course.
The whole fucking story. So, hey, man, I say let it propel. Fuck. Let it become conspiracy theories.
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. Let me kind of say it from this point of view, I guess, okay? If you think about some kids that would be getting into some of your old music, you know, some of the old stuff, Pantera, Down, you know, let's look at it from that point of view. They're reading into those lyrics now as they hear them live, okay? Not realizing...
They hear what? What do they hear?
They hear what they feel now, you know?
Which is interesting because, I guess... With a fresh mindset, even at its worst, I mean, if you're looking for controversy, you're gonna read controversy into
sure.
it. But
sure,
the truth,
yeah.
No, and look, fuck off, fuck everything. Look, let's cut to the chase. The truth of the matter is. I have written songs, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And nothing more than songs. I am no politico. I know how people like to politicize or just about every facet of entertainment and life. And it's a big deal.
Yeah,
but,
man.
Hey, it's not my fight, man.
Well, dude, you've got some...
It's not my fight. I don't have a dog in the fight. And I write songs from a personal perspective.
Yeah.
And I think... Honestly, I think that would surprise a lot of people in a lot of areas of how I believe about certain things, man. So... Yeah. You know, reading into lyrics today and having things take a negative spin, it really doesn't bother me so much, man, if that indeed that does happen. But reading into things and really coming away with a completely off-the-cuff, crazy narrative that I have seen, I've not really seen the negative shit because I don't look for the negative shit. See how that works.
I agree.
Anyway, exactly. So, when I do read the crazy shit, man, as a person who thrives on the absurd things in life and loves the fact that I love to laugh, especially at myself. I say more power to them, man.
That's it, dude.
Use your freedom of agency and speech.
I guess that's probably a good segue in a lot of ways to an advice to young up and coming bands and songwriters as well. You know.
I would say first and foremost, be as open-minded a musician as you possibly can be.
Yeah.
Understand the concept that, yes, you may be into a certain genre of music, but that certain genre of music came from somewhere. There is a chicken egg theory in music that we can follow deeply into history, and I do mean because it's music is a historic thing since the first two rocks were banged together in rhythm with bird chirps and rain patterns, pitter patters. So imitating them. So, since man imitated nature, really, in rhythm, I would say investigate have an open mind, take all of the genres that you love the most and write as many different kinds of songs as you can when you start out.
Yeah.
And find out what type is your strength.
Yeah.
And sprint towards it. But understand, the life of a modern day musician is very different than when I came up, which was still very much pure sacrifice and a lot of rocky roads, along with a lot of joyous and rewarding times.
Yeah.
But that truly only came from the love of the gig itself.
Yeah.
Or in hindsight, it was... I guess there were times where I could remember and recall feeling such an energy on the stage at the height of the popularity of Pantera that it was overwhelming, and it was just like, oh man, this is one of the most electric, powerful, and stunning feelings I could ever imagine. And I do remember having flashes of that, but those little flashes are fleeting. And to tell you the truth, I get as much satisfaction these days playing to a crowd that is very small, in the smallest room possible.
Yeah.
Because I know the Illegals specifically are not going to be this mass appeal, because I know I wrote the fucking record. I should know that it ain't going to be this mass appeal, shoot to number one chart fucking record. Hey, look here, I said this before and I mean it. I've been on lists before. I've been at the top of them and the bottom of them and the middle of them. So fucking take me off the list. I can give a fuck. As long as the people that do come out to these shows are there, I know they are there because they are into what I'm doing at this specific time in my career with this specific band. That makes it, my friend, a real experience. And I love it, man. I do. I've done every type of gig in the world, man. So
yeah.
For me, if you're an up-and-coming musician, love the gig first, and remember, you did not come to music for the women,
yeah,
the drugs, especially the drugs,
yeah,
or the booze, or any of that shit. You came to music because you loved music. Always remember that. Take all your influences and use them and apply them, even if it's on a very micro level, let's say. It all helps. The more influences, the better, because it all helps, I guess, the shell of the nucleus of what would be you.
Sure.
In your unique personality.
Sure.
And that's where we all get it, man. You know, the guy that I am on stage is that, of course I'm different off stage, but when I'm on stage, I just feel compelled to do what I do because it feels every type of front man from the earliest days forward. I could say Paul Stanley, David Lee Roth, Rob Halford, then later guys like Roger from Agnostic Front, Henry Rollins from Black Flag at the time, and so on and so forth, you know, and I can keep going on and on because there are small things from the outside as well that I, you know, when you watch a dynamic musician perform, even like a guy like Morrissey or David Bowie, they do certain things, they do certain inflections that make your the old gears spin in the brain, you know. It's like, oh, you know, that was interesting. That was, or Nick Cave, say, you know, a dynamic performer like that. You can never underestimate dynamic performers.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, man.
We notice each other, you know. We always do.
It's true. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned guys like, you know, the Smiths.
Smiths. Man, that's my next interview. Hey, do me a favor. Are you going to be awake for a couple of days? Hey, look, shoot me an email, and shoot me an email, and if you want to continue this, let's do it.
Let's fucking do it.
I gotta go.
I'll shoot you an email.
Man.
I'll shoot you an email right now. This is the awesome, awesome thing of live podcasting, especially when it's with Dynamo's Dozen. You heard that right there. Phil Anselmo, he had to get on to the next interview. The guy is busy as fuck at the moment because Philip H. Anselmo and the Illegals choosing mental illness as a virtue is, it is literally, it's coming out on Friday, this coming Friday, 26th of January, and this guy has got countless amount of interviews to do today. You probably heard him say, shoot me an email, because he wants to continue this. I'm telling you here, guys and girls, this is going to be continued. So all I will say, this is going to be the shortest Dynamo's Dozen, but the best Dynamo's Dozen, because I'm going to have a little surprise for you after this. So, with that one, I'm going to put this, and we're going to call it part one of many. And until then, Dynamo is over and out. I love it.